we praise God. How we praise God. Amen. We're going to ask you, before we go anywhere, to bow your heads with me. We're going to have a word of prayer unto God and our Father. And dear and blessed Lord, our God, yes, our Father. Lord, we thank you for this day and your grace in it. Thank you, Lord God, for the manifestation of this moment. Praying, oh God, that you will bless, having blessed, in the illumination and enlightenment, Lord, that you have decreed unto each and every one of us. Lord, that we might be a blessing as you have determined it before time. Unto those, Lord, others, members of the body of Christ, bless your people, encourage your people, O God. Minister your word unto them through your chosen vessel and mouthpiece for this time, this moment. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. El Nixon will be our designated reader. And we're going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And we're going to deal with verses 12 through 15. Philippians, chapter 2. Verses 12 through 15. Hallelujah. Saints of God, I've heard some profound things that were said today in Sunday school and in the introduction and before the introduction and the sermonic hymn that have certainly inspired my soul and ignited a fire in my spirit. Amen. El Nickerson, you have Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. Won't you read? Let's start with the King James Version.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, King James Version. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed.
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. There's a surprise there, as though they had obeyed out of themselves. Read.
Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
That's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to not work, just work out. Most of God's people are trying to work for their salvation. All right.
For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings.
Do all things without murmurings.
And disputings.
And disputings. Verse 15.
That ye may be blameless and harmless.
That ye may be. It appears that they got to do all this, but it is not. That ye may be blameless and harmless.
The sons of God.
The sons of God.
Without rebuke.
Without rebuke.
In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
As lights in the world. Reading from the King James translation, it would appear that there's much work that we have to do, and it appears that it would be work that has to be done to gain acceptance with God. But we're going to exegete the scriptures, and then we're going to explain them from the exegesis in order to get the literal interpretation of the scriptures, especially that portion which is called the mystery, our gospel. It requires exegesis, not to be saved. It don't require exegesis to be saved, because we were saved before the foundation of the world. But it requires exegesis to cut it straight, to get it right, so we can have everything aligned properly as the Lord had intended the information to be ministered unto us. I want to put this thought in your mind. It's kind of a long one. It's for the last three outings I've been here. I've been alluding to it in some degree or another. Salvation actualized. That is done, completed, finished. Our being saved, safe, secure. Actualized, completed, done, finished. In eternity, by God's decree, that is His word, His saying, He's speaking it, manifested, catch this one, in the temporariness of time. Now let me open those words up again. Actualize, eternity, decree, and manifested. I think you know what temporary means. Actualize. It means to bring or cause to come into existence, to bring into existence, or a thing existing as a fact or real, but primarily a thing brought into existence. Amen. Eternity, as they were saying, I was saying in the Sunday school this morning, it is that which is without beginning or ending. It is everlasting. It is timeless. It is void, completely, completely void of time. Even that big mysterious number, L. Liveman, is void of all time. However, the imagination can stretch to the extremities of numerical time. It is void of all time. It is not on a par with time, or rather, time is not on a par with eternity. Time had a beginning, and it has an ending. And if you all want me to give you more of an example, I think I got the tape still here. I wondered what Ella had me doing with that tape. Amen. But it's still here if you want more of an example. All right. Eternity, or in eternity, is forever the same. It's forever the same. That's not time. Time, you got changing and sequencing and next and after that. And then sometime we find ourselves asking, what next? That's time. That's not eternity. Eternity is serene and tranquil, amen, and it's without change, it's without sequencing. It's always or forever the same. Then you have the word decree. Decree means to order by authority into existence, or command or speak into existence. Man cannot make a decree. Even a monarch cannot make a decree. King Nebuchadnezzar found that out. He was king of Babylon, and he made a golden image, and so he thought, decreed that every time the music, certain music played, everybody would fall down and worship this image that he had established and set up. But there were three guys whom God held their heart and held their composure and gave them stability, encouragement, and courage. They didn't fall down to the music. So it was told the king. King said, all right, we'll throw them in the furnace. Praise God. But God took the hurt out of the fire. It had no power over them. So the king looked in and he said, didn't I throw three in? There's four there. Amen. And the fourth looked like a son of the gods or God. And he told them to take them up out of the fire. And he said, truly, this is it, truly, your God is God of the heavens and earth. For he hath changed the king's word. God is the only one that can decrease a thing, or that is, command a thing into existence or cause it to be. Amen. Men can have their orders changed, either by a successor or by their demise or their death. But God is eternal, and his decrees stand eternally. And the next one, and I want you to get this one mixed up with actualization. Actualization is to bring or cause to exist, to order into existence. Don't confuse this one, is manifestation. Manifestation is the showing or the revealing of what the Lord has decreed into existence in eternity. Manifestation is what God created time for, to manifest his eternal workings. Praise God. Salvation, actualized, completed, done, finished. We have it. It's ours. It's not going anywhere. In eternity, by God's decree, the ultimate authority. I would say our salvation is pretty secure. Hallelujah. He speaks it by his word. Then he manifests it. With me, mine was manifested in the early 70s or mid 70s. Yours may have been another time. It wasn't started then, it was manifested then. In the temporariness of time. He decreed it in eternity, actualized it in eternity, brought it into existence in eternity, then he showcases it in the temporariness of time. Yes. Praise God. I want you to listen to this, and hopefully it will at least bring our attention to some sorely misguided thinking according to the scriptures. Our gospel, Pastor spoke regarding this, the gospel of the grace of God, our gospel. Our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, was not given by our Lord Jesus Christ to the resurrected, ascended, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, gave it to the Apostle Paul. Not for this. Not for us to hear it and hopefully believe it, as so many teach today, and get saved. Wrong again, as so many believe today. Yes, you can go to Romans 10, 9, and 10 and try and take the Romans road. The main thing that you have there, the hearing and the believing, they are all what we call aorist tense or aorist subjunctives. It is that which the Lord has already determined in the secure environment of eternity, and your believing in time is what has already been decreed. Had it not been decreed in eternity by God, had it not been brought into existence by God, it wouldn't show up in whatever year, amen, that you were assigned in the created entity of time. Hallelujah. It wasn't given. Our gospel was not given for us to hear and hopefully believe and so-called get saved, but rather, our gospel was given to us to inform us, give us information, show us that we were chosen in Christ, saved in eternity. In eternity, we were saved. It's just manifested in the given periods of time, in time. And in eternity, we were decreed to believe in or on Christ Jesus. In eternity, that was decreed. That's why we believe in time, because it was decreed us to do it from eternity. Praise God. When time was created and when we were brought forth, manifested in our turn in time, it was decreed that we, praise God, would realize that we were saved. It it was not given. Our gospel was not given or revealed to tell us what we must do for acceptance or salvation. That would not be grace. Our gospel is grace. Unmerited favor. No merit. It wasn't given, amen, to show us what we must do for acceptance with God. Get that thought that we were talking about that in Sunday school. We are not in a got to do this salvation, nor gospel, nor dispensation. But rather, it was given to show us what was actualized concerning us, what God brought into existence already concerning us, and what was decreed or determined regarding us or done to and for us in eternity and manifested in time. So with that, as our gospel teaches us, when we encounter situations, if we forget the first time, let's try to remember the second time. When we encounter things in time, and we surely will, not what is this, but what is this for? Amen. God has decreed everything regarding us for a purpose. It was not given, our gospel was not given to show us who we were trying to be in time, but rather who we actually already are by eternal generation in and actually in eternity. We are children of God. Not gonna be, we are children of God by eternal generation. In Adam, all die, all the way down to our immediate parentage. We die according to the flesh, but by according to eternal generation, we are children of God. We are eternally spiritual, not fleshly, spiritual children of God. Our gospel was not given to have us to cling to, oh Lord, embrace and prioritize, that is, put first the temporary, the being seen, but rather to inform us, to point us to Christ, to what's eternally ours. Remember, in eternity, everlastingness, everything always the same. No change, no losing what you got or who you might think you are. No losing anything. Praise the Lord. In time, we lose, if we stay long enough, we'll lose our youth. In time, if we hang around long enough, we might lose our health, or we'll lose it. In time, if the time continues, then we will be taken out of time by way of death. So it's to inform us, to point us to Christ, to what's eternally ours, to again prioritize eternal, the eternal, spiritual, unseen. If it's temporary, it's going to fade in time. If it's seen, it's temporary, and it shall fade in time. If it's unseen, with the natural eye, it's spiritual. It's eternal. Amen. And is not relegated to those things of time. Space and matter and energy. The spirit is not relegated, praise God, to those things that make up time and physicality. Praise God. All right. Now, getting into our scripture. Ella, you have your interlineal. We're going to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 12.
So as, beloved of me.
All right, so as, or you could say therefore. This is a superordinating conjunction. In other words, it's really getting ready to trump that which went before it. A superordinating conjunction. Therefore, Now, we want to assess what made Paul at this point say, therefore, beloved. Well, we go back up contextually to that which was spoken before. And he was telling us, praise God, that we are
yes,
to have nothing in strife or vainglory, that we are to be like-minded. And then, this mind being in you, that was in Christ Jesus. So it's not talking about salvation, it's talking about the cohesiveness and the love that the saints have one for another. I'm saying it again, our gospel was not given us to save us, but it was given us to inform us that we were saved, and when we were saved, in a secure environment of eternity. And to lead us and to guide us and to cause us to identify with Christ and for testimony of what the Lord has done regarding us as he has placed us in flesh in the temporariness of time. So that's what verses 1 through 11 are pretty much doing. Then it said in verse 11, and each and every tongue may confess, having confessed. The probability there of may confess is when and to what degree or extent in time when it manifests. But the actuality is given by the aorist tense, a completed action. I know some say that the aorist tense doesn't guide the time of the action. That's right. Because it wasn't in time. It was before time in eternity. It was finished. If it is an event, if it is a happening, then it had to have had an origin.
Yes.
The origin is not in time, but in eternity.
Yes.
God's workings are in eternity, and time is just for showing all creation what he have done and worked and finished and completed in eternity. And when God is through with manifestation, like the tape was taken off the wall, time was taken out, and then all you have is what is, or rather what is, and that's eternity. Praise God. Amen. All right. And each and every tongue may confess, having confessed. They confessed because God had decreed that they would confess. That Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want to miss that one. Lord Jesus Christ, possessor, owner, master, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now I want to bring that out for a reason. Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll show you that reason in a moment. Again, therefore, beloved of me. Read, Ella.
Okay.
Inasmuch as, or just as.
Okay.
Verse 12.
Verse 12. So as beloved of me.
Beloved of
always.
Me, ye have always.
Ye obeyed.
Ye obeyed.
Not as in the presence.
Not as in the presence.
Of me only.
Of me only.
But now by more rather in the absence of me. With fear and trembling.
With fear and trembling.
The of yourself salvation. Work out.
Work out. Now it would appear that God is telling us to do something, which we know we can't do. Praise God. We can't work for it, and we can hardly work it out. Bless the Lord. But then he said up there, therefore, beloved of me, inasmuch as ye have always obeyed. Now we know we haven't obeyed God's word to the fullest. But he is not dependent or telling them that it was out of them that obedience came.
Right.
And I'm telling you that obedience does not originate in and out of us.
Yes.
This is an indicative aorist and is in the active voice.
Yes, Lord.
Indicative mood means that it is a fact. And I told you before, a fact is a thing that's done. It's the aorist tense. It was from the decree of God in eternity. Again, it is done. Now, the third thing, and the reason I brought up Lord Jesus Christ, and that it is in the active voice, the subject of the sentence is in the active voice producing the action. And the subject of the sentence here is in the nominative case. That's the subject of the sentence. Lord, in verse 11, Lord Jesus Christ. Nominative case. And he is producing the action of obedience. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples in the 15th chapter of John, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, this is corroboration, without me, you can do nothing. But it was said again, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So without him, nothing can be done. So Paul is saying that your obedience was attributed, or is attributed, to the Lord, the Lord of us. And so it was not only in the presence of me that you obeyed, but you obeyed also in the absence of me, because it had nothing to do, Paul saying, with me. Everything regarding the child of God in our manifested existence is already decreed of God.
Amen.
When your depraved nature would have its way, and when our depraved nature would not have its way, it's already decreed of God for his own glory. As indicative, amen, it was already done and determined by the Lord, their obedience.
Yeah.
And Paul is praising God for it. Because you know where he was, don't you? He wasn't at the club. He was in prison.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So the dependency of all things is God, who is our Father. He had determined it.
Right.
So, not as in my presence only, you obey always, but not as in my presence only, but now by more rather in the absence of me, so that God could be the one that received the glory. They're not obeying because he's there. You think I'd be obeying because Pastor's sitting there? When he's there, it's going to go according to his directives. And when he's out of town, it's going to go according to his directives. Let me tell you about this word obey or obedience. The church belongs to God.
Yeah.
The ministry and the ministers belong to God.
Yeah.
The people belong to God.
Yeah.
God have wrought this.
Yeah.
Not Pastor Cutler or any other pastor.
Right.
The Lord have wrought the structure of the church.
Amen.
For obedience under guidelines of authority. And even the love that's displayed one to another, God has determined that.
Amen.
Bless his name. So they were made subject to. They were made to respond to that which Paul had taught them, and to accept the gospel. They were made to do that, whether Paul was with them or whether he was not with them. By more, rather in the absence of me. Fear, and with fear and trembling. In other words, respect and trembling in awe of God. He's our Father, but he is the great God, the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God of all creation. the of yourselves salvation. It's ours. The salvation singular, but yourselves is the second person plural. They don't have a different salvation over there than we have over here. They don't have a different salvation than we have in this ethnicity. No one, amen, has a different salvation of God. We all have the one common salvation. Give yourself salvation, work out. It's a command. It's an imperative mood. But it's in the passive voice. That means God is doing that which he commands. We are not doing it. It's a command of grace. It's a, not a command of the law, nor even kingdom law. It's a command of grace. Didn't I just tell you that God is just showcasing what he has produced in eternity? He's showcasing in time. Just like I said in Sunday school, as you watch the big screen, amen, you're watching a production. The producer produced it, and he is showcasing it on the screen. God produced this in eternity, and he's showing you what he has done. Hallelujah, to his glory, to his praise, his honor, in all ways, to our good, always to the good of the saint. There's therefore now no condemnation. Sorry to disappoint you. If you feel so bad, you feel like God ought to kick you and put his foot on your neck. Sorry to disappoint you. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, period. You are a child of God. And I'm going to get more in that after a while. Your own salvation, accomplish, finish, perform, do, but it's not you doing or enabling it. It is God, and I'm going to show you. For God is, verse 13, Ella.
Verse 13.
God is.
The one.
And the is singular. Mm-hmm. Not me and God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I hear so much about according to your choice, or you choosing God, or choosing your salvation, or choosing to follow God. We didn't choose to follow God. God determined that we would follow him as we were manifested in the flesh. For God is the only one, singular, the, whatever,
operating in you.
The one operating, the one accomplishing, the one effecting in you and in me. You is the second person plural. Paul is talking, that would be the first person singular. And the saints, he is being discourse to, that is the second person plural. Both. Go ahead, Ella.
Both to will. And the to operate.
Well, where's free will if God doing this? Where's free choice if God is doing this? I know you've heard it from your friends, neighbors, relatives, acquaintances, people you meet in general. That you got to choose this and you choose. I just heard it the other day. We can only choose what our depraved nature dictates us to prove. Cat meow, because that's his nature. Dog bark, because that's his nature. Snake bite, if you get too close, that's his nature. We sin because that's the nature that was assigned to us in our flesh through our forefather according to the flesh, Adam.
Yeah.
It was assigned to us, but not eternal generation, which we are the children of God. Spirit. More on that later. God is the one working in you, both to will, that is to want to, or to wish, or desire to. You ever wish you could do better than you've been doing?
Amen.
God is the one that works that. The desire, the wish, the want, the will. And here's one more that you are like. He works in you to like it. Bless Jesus. To like it. He is the one that worketh in you to will. Not only that, and the to be or being at work or being operative in behalf of his good pleasure. We live at the pleasure of God. We do at the pleasure of God. We perform at the pleasure of God. It's for his desire. It's for his purpose. It's for his favor. What we frame the good and what we frame the reverse is all to the pleasure of God. Let me tell you this, since that probably seems a little distasteful to you, the reverse of things of life, God, they are to the pleasure of God also. Saints, consider this. In eternity again, there is no time. It is everlasting, without beginning, and without ending. No time in eternity. In the flesh, we often and generally, according to the flesh, prioritize time. Now I'm 60 now, so I don't have much more time. Maybe longer, maybe shorter. Praise God. But God, according to eternal generations of us, prioritizes eternity. You look sometime and wonder why such a young and defenseless one was so abused and so discarded. That is physical. Naturally, we yearn, we hurt, because God is working righteousness of nature, of righteousness upon us. We have the old man and the new man. But God prioritizes eternity. If such a one, even the babe that is not allowed to come here, or the one that just can't come here, if they even don't breathe a bit of Earth's atmosphere, they are still in the plan and purpose of God.
Amen.
They are eternally his before they show up in this. Nixon, you got your Old Testament? Get me Jeremiah 1 and 5 real quick. For somebody don't believe me. We are his, and we are a course in life before we show up in time in physical natural life. Jeremiah 1 and 5. Won't y'all turn there with me? I want you to be on the same page with me. Jeremiah 1 and 5. Matter of fact, Ella, I want you to read Jeremiah 1, 1 and 2 first, so we can establish who's talking. We'll first establish who's talking. We'll make sure it's not Jeremiah, but the one that's able to decree and bring a thing into existence. Read Jeremiah 1, 1 and 2 first.
The words of Jeremiah.
All right, the words of Jeremiah speaking.
The son of Hilkiah.
Son of Hilkiah.
Of the priests.
The priests.
That were in
Anathoth.
In the land of Benjamin.
In the land of Benjamin. Benjamites.
To whom the word of the Lord came.
To whom the word of the Lord came. Just like it came to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church.
There you go.
It didn't come to Peter, else he would have received it. But it came to Paul for the Grace Church. And it didn't come until the Lord had deemed it to manifest in time. It didn't manifest when the Lord Jesus was preaching to the disciples. They preached the kingdom gospel. The gospel of the kingdom, which shall be. Apostle Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God. That would be manifested in the dispensation of grace and in the present evil age. God is gracing us with his word. Read verse 5, L. Nixon, deliberately.
Before I formed thee in the belly.
This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the mouthpiece and the penman. Before I did what?
Form thee in the belly.
God is saying, before I formed you, Jeremiah, in the belly,
I knew thee.
I knew you. That ain't all. It's more. It gets deeper. What else, Ella?
And before thou camest forth out of the womb.
Before you was born out of the womb, delivered. What else?
I sanctified thee.
I set you apart.
And I ordained thee a prophet.
I decreed thee a prophet.
Unto the nations.
His course was set and settled in eternity before this man ever showed up in time encapsulated in flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Your in time existence was coursed. See, well, I escaped death one time. You couldn't help but escape it. You were coursed not to die at that time. See, well, I want to be a teacher, but I ended up at Ford. And then that's because it manifested.
That's it,
I was coursed. Jeremiah was ordained a prophet before to the nation before he was ever conceived.
Amen.
God had done it. We prioritize time. God prioritized eternity.
Amen.
And the things that God has decreed in our course, it is for our eternal glory. That we can all sing, Sister Harris. Look where he brought me from.
Amen.
Oh, look where he brought me from. He brought me through the darkness into his marvelous light. He brought me through pain and opposition. He brought me through embarrassment and being put down and shunned and used and misused. He brought me through those not liking me and hating me when I tried to do right and meant them well. He brought me through somebody that don't understand me. I meant well. I didn't mean no harm by it. He brought me through all that. Amen. It's in our course that we will eternally glorify and praise him. All right. Enough of that, Ella. Verse 14. All do ye. I'll take it now, Ella.
Okay.
All do ye. I told you this wasn't talking about your salvation. This is talking about our maturation or our conduct.
That's right.
Which God has caused and decreed in some of us variously and at varying times.
Right.
And in varying degrees. So you know sometimes we don't obey. All we do is complain. All we do is murmur and quarrel. And oh my God, wait till they pass by, we whisper. Sometimes that's all we do. But God has decreed obedience as well. That sometimes we are endeared when we would have obviously acted different. And all do ye. As we are coursed, as we are decreed, without complaining, and without thoughts or opinions or disputings. Opinions. Let me read you something. That word opinion, I knew I'd get a fresh infusion of insight here. The word of God. Does not deal with nor put forth or express these four things. the Word of God does not deal in this stuff. Conjecture. Supposing or guessing. I guess. The Word of God does not even deal with that. It does not deal with imagination. The act of imagining. God's Word does not deal with imagination. That's a lying nation. The Word of God does not deal with opinions. Well, what do you think about this scripture here? Never mind what you think, exegete it. See what it literally is saying. God's Word don't deal with opinions. Personal judgments, beliefs, notions, and persuasions, and estimation. Exegete God's Word to bring out the literal meaning. Interpret it. Bring from one language the meaning to another language, which is our language. And you do that through exegesis. The verbs, the nouns, the cases, the moods. Not to be saved, but because we are saved and we want to get it straight. What's ours? What we can expect? What we are privy to? The Word of God does not deal with illusions. Praise God. A lot of God's people today are getting illusions in ministry. Yes, they are. An illusion is something that appears to be different from what it actually or really is.
Yes.
Let me tell you one illusion. One illusion that's being ministered to God's people is prioritizing the present, the here and the now, over the eternal unseen, where we truly actually abide in spirit in Christ Jesus right now.
Amen.
Ministries appointing God's people to the here and the now and the things that are around us. When we should be pointed to the eternal, unseen, that which do abide, and that which shall not vanish or perish away. God's Word deals strictly with the actualization, the coming and bringing into existence and making a reality. His Word deals strictly with the actualization of all things. Occurrences and every event. See, well, God don't deal with events. He just deals with people. He deals with all things, occurrences and events in eternity. And the manifestation or the showing or revealing of them in the temporary, created, encapsulated entity of time. Bless God. Now, you recall when Jesus told his disciples, said, a sparrow does not fall to the ground without your heavenly Father. And then he said to them, all the hairs of your head are numbered. A little bitty sparrow, God has to, Jesus said, a sparrow don't fall to the ground without your Father. What he was saying is that God has to enable everything. He has to enable us doing well and loving one another. He even has to enable the accident or the event. Time is made up of what? Energy and space. And what's that other one? Energy and space and matter. In spirituality, they are not dependent on any of that. So God is the creator of all space and energy and time, and he has to enable everything. So when you have that accident, when you have that situation, say, Lord, not what is this, but what is this for?
Amen.
God is seeking glory to get his glory in it. Remember, God prioritized eternity. If you were taken out of here right now, away from your family, away from them that loves you, Lord, Jesus Christ, owner, master, boss, possessor. He has called us. He owns us. He has determination over us. If you were taken out away from your family, away from your friends, amen. You are in the everlasting. You have manifested in the everlasting arms of Jesus.
Amen.
He prioritizes eternity. Well, I want him to stay here longer. He was so young. Yes, that's a natural fleshly reaction. But God prioritizes eternity. Oh, it's such a little old thing. Why did he have to die? God prioritizes eternity. That's why I went to Jeremiah to corroborate and to show by corroboration, by another testimony, another gospel, that God knows us and deals with us before he places us in bodies, in time, in temporality. And when he takes us out of time, our spirit goes back to our eternal generation, or is manifested in our eternal generation where we are children of God. I ain't say we'll be, but we are right now children of God. It's just not manifested. Verse 15. Thoughts and opinions. In order that you may be having been. You may be, it might manifest in eternity upon this one or that one more than others. It might manifest unto you, wherein it won't manifest unto the little babe that is aborted by whatever means. But God knows them.
Glory to God.
In order that ye may be, having been blameless. We are without blame, saints. Pray. I know the devil done ran a guilt trip on many of us.
Yes.
Ain't nothing right but what's right.
Yeah.
Nothing's right but what's right. Righteousness is right.
That's right.
But in our eternal, in God's eternal decree, we are without blame. So that we are harmless. And I say that, and it's better the scriptures inform us of that, so you won't be like me and Ella Livermanois, wondering whether you saved or whether you lost your salvation. He pulls aside the road and pray that he get his back or don't lose his. And I was on the job, went into a little room and prayed, Lord, if I ain't saved, save me. But now I'm informed.
Yes, amen.
When I mess up, God did not overrule my depravity, which he assigned to me. Romans 3:23.
Amen.
Exegete it when you go there. Be sure to do that.
Amen.
Amen. But when he overrules my depravity, then I exemplify Christ and his righteousness. Without it, I'm just old me. And God help me. In order that ye may be, having been blameless, harmless, here it is, children of God, by eternal generation. I'm Horace Gavin's son by the flesh, came down from Adam by the flesh, but I am God's by eternal generation. Children of God, faultless. Now catch this. In the midst of a generation, a period, or an age, or your contemporaries, those around you, crooked and dishonest, God has decreed you not so. We are his children, and it manifests in them. And you better believe God puts a difference between us and them. And perverted. And this is the perfect tense and the passive voice. Because I'm going to corroborate after this, and then I'm going to sit down, all the way down. And perverted, among whom you shine as lights or like luminaries in the world. Oh, when I did that, it's in the passive voice. You were caused when you shine as a luminary. You were decreed and caused. It wasn't out of you. You'd acted like you. But it was decreed unto you that you would shine as a light and a luminary. Now, back to the ones that you dwell in the midst of a crooked and a perverted society. Ella, get me Romans chapter 9, verse 20. It's in the perfect tense. Mm-hmm. Perverted, that is, those around us, our contemporaries, and the age that we are in, is in the perfect tense. It's a completed action in eternity with ongoing results to be manifested in time. And God knows, every time you turn TV on and pick up a newspaper, it's manifested. It's in the passive voice. Even if they wanted to do well, perversion is what was assigned to them. And I'm going to corroborate. Ellie, do you have Romans, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 20th verse and read through verse 24. And we're going to leave the word of God with you. God has determined everything regarding us. He has coursed everything regarding us. Praise the Lord.
O man. Nay, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Thou who art the one. Replying against God.
Who in the world are you replying against God? Mm-hmm.
And will say.
Mm-hmm.
The thing formed. To the one having formed.
To the creator who has formed it.
Why me madest thou?
Let's listen to this. Why didn't you give me.
Thus.
Why didn't you give me the privileges of them? Why didn't you give me at least half the money that she got? Why didn't you make my hair long and wavy? Why didn't you make me a little more strong and personable than I am? So the thing formed, it would be ludicrous for the thing formed to say to the one formed it, why have you made me like this? Read, Elder.
Or has not authority.
Has not the authority.
The potter
who is God.
Of the clay.
Out of the same lump of humanity. Remember, we are all children of God manifest. I'm sorry, we are all children of Adam and manifested. We all sprang from Adam's blood according to the flesh. According to the flesh. Not eternal generations according to the Spirit. And so we are out of the same lump, out of Adam. All right, read on, Ella.
To make this. To honor a vessel.
This vessel to honor.
That to dishonor.
God did that. Read on, Ella. It might not be quite plain.
But if wishing God, or had wished God, or willed God, to show forth,
having shown forth, this is his eternal work of God, not doing nothing in time. He's only manifesting what he has already done by decree in eternity. It must manifest as its decree. He's not like Nebuchadnezzar. His decree can't be overturned.
No.
Nothing changes in eternity. The decree of God stands, and it has to manifest according to his decree. Read it out.
The wrath and to make
what if it,
known.
He's willing to show the wrath and to make known.
The ability of him. Bore in much. Long suffering. Vessels of wrath. That have been fitted.
For destruction. The Old Testament say, God, I forget it exactly, but he's made the righteous and then he's made the wicked for the day of judgment. That's in corroboration in the Old Testament. God has made vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy according to his will. And they were fitted for destruction. And there's nothing you, me, mama, daddy, anybody can do about it. They are assigned to destruction. We are members of the body of Christ, oh, the mercy of God. But they are eternally assigned, separated from God. What I say, we can't approach the Word of God on conjecture, on imagination, on opinion, and on illusions. We have to take God's Word literally for what it says and what it teaches. Read the last one, Elvin.
And in order.
And in. Or next to the last two. And in order.
In order that the riches of the glory
the
of
riches
him,
of the glory
of him
of him
on vessels of mercy
on vessels of mercy vessels
he,
of mercy
which he previously prepared for
which
glory.
He in eternity as indicative active voice or which he eternally prepared or before prepared unto what
glory.
Unto glory. We are members of the body of Christ. We are already glorified. But is not seen right now while we're in flesh. We'll have heavenly, eternally consciousness, spiritual consciousness, as soon as this goes.
Mm.
How do you think Paul say, for me to live, Christ?
To die is gain.
And to die again. And it's far better that for me, better for me to be with Christ, but more needful for you for me to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. When, while he was here, he was always in jail. Or running.
Mm-hmm.
Praise Jesus. Read the end of verse 23 one more time there, just the end. And go right into 24.
I mean 20, okay.
The end of verse 23.
Which he had, okay, alright.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yes.
Alright, let me see.
Which he had before prepared.
Which he had, okay.
Unto glory.
Which he had prepared.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. He had before prepared us unto glory. Even us. Whom he hath called.
Oh.
Not of Jews only, but also of Gentiles. Mm-hmm. You go talking about you got a contract with God back in the days of Moses. You got a contract. I own you. Get out of the camp. Amen. Be separated away from God's chosen people. But it was manifested unto us through the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, to inform us,
amen.
Not to save us.
Amen.
We were saved before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
But to inform us of everything that is ours. Let us know that we are not in time, in physicality, trying to get saved. But our origin is eternality, spirituality. We were always members of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13. And when the flesh, we're taken out of the flesh, we'll have spiritual, heavenly, eternal consciousness. And we, as we are manifested where we always are. And that's what is. All right, God bless you. Lead the word of God with you.